Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, starting in the first verse. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to come back to those first five verses here in a minute. After these first five verses, we see Paul begins to rebuke these Galatians. He tells them he wonders, that is, he is astonished, you might say, that these Galatians are so soon or quickly removed, or that is, they have changed sides, is what the word means. To pervert is another meaning of this word. You can read it this way in verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon perverted from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They have turned so quickly from God who called them into the grace of God in Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, Paul quickly adds, because it is a perversion. Man in his wisdom likes to think he is preaching good news to men. They will even say that they preach the gospel. They do this while adding in with Christ's work something that man has to do for salvation. Some men will preach that man has a free will, which he then uses this supposed free will to decide to follow after Christ and decides to do things for Christ. Now we here know that we know that free will is a lie. There's no such thing as free will when it comes to man. But not everybody knows that.
That's right.
These men who teach man has a free will have men and women's person in admiration because of advantage. Jude says in verse 16, he says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. Paul also says in Galatians 6, those who he is speaking of who are teaching a perverted gospel do so that they might glory in your flesh. Paul here, when he speaks of a perverted gospel, certainly includes in this those that preach man has a free will. This is not talking about Buddhism or sun worshiping or any other absolutely Christless idol worship. These things are obviously Christless teachings.
Yes.
Paul here is talking about teaching that even talks about Jesus Christ and will even give him credit for what he has done. They sneak in man having something to do very subtly. In fact, they teach their perverted gospel so cunningly that it can take you away quickly. They have great swelling words. They, in fact, can make things so complicated with their speech that some may, in fact, think that they're not smart enough to figure it out. And because of this, they think those who are saying these things must be right. Listen to how smart they are. They have to know what they're talking about. That's the kind of the thought they might have. The gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is simple, meaning this. It is singular in who it is talking about. Yes. It is singular in who did and does all the work.
Yes.
Any teaching that puts man as having any part of his own salvation or the salvation of another is a perversion of the gospel. It is not the gospel at all. It is a perversion, a turning away from God, who is the one who called us into the grace of Christ, who is the only good news to a sinner.
Amen.
The grace of Jesus Christ is the gospel, and it is the only gospel. You add anything else to it, you are perverting the gospel. And in doing so, you have no gospel at all, but a perversion. So let's look at a few things that we read in Galatians. First, what is the gospel? Second, what was the perversion being taught that Paul was speaking of? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified."
Amen.
This is God-breathed words that had Paul the apostle write that down. I think it is good, a safe thing for us to know, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul begins this letter to the Galatians with what I will call a preface to the book of Galatians. I'm sure someone else might have a better term for it, but that's what I call the first five verses of this book. In verse 3, we see Paul telling us that if we are to have grace, and I mean a grace that saves, it will only come from God.
Yes.
This grace comes along with peace. That is, if God sheds His grace on us, we will have peace with God. But it is equally true that God is already at peace with us. Why? Because of His favor to the Son, who is full of grace, and He is our peace with God. This was done, or this was accomplished, because of what He did. What does he say in verse 4? Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins. Having taken the punishment due us, we are then made righteous in the sight of God. This all being done that He might deliver us from the present evil world. He did. We do not do anything. What He did and what He does is what delivers us from this present evil world. And this is all based on the will of God the Father. If you would, turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8, verses 28 through 32. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called," and notice these words, called, past tense, "them He also justified," past tense. "And whom He justified, them He also glorified," past tense. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?"
Amen.
Here it says in verse 28, who are the called. These Galatians are told by Paul in verse 6, it says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." So we see these Galatians are included here, and we are included here if He has called us. And as I said, if you notice there, all of these words are in the past tense. Did predestinate, called, justified, glorified. And if we are to believe God and the record He has given of His Son, then we do believe these things are done. What else do we have to do? Nothing.
That's it.
He has done all these things for us, completed, with nothing left for anyone to do to be righteous before Him in love.
Exactly.
How did He do this and Him alone? Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Freely.
Amen.
Free to us, but it was not free to Him.
Exactly.
But this says, freely give us all things. We do not have to work for them to get them. They are freely given to us in Christ Jesus. What Paul says in the beginning of Galatians is the foundation for everything that happens to us. And I will say everything we do. But this is a serious thing. Paul says that if any other man preaches a gospel which is not a gospel but a perversion of that one and only gospel, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, what does Paul say about that one who preaches that? Let him be accursed.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that's quite troubling to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
It should cause us great pause in what it is we tell others. It ought to cause us great pause in what we or who we listen to. Because these Galatians, Paul tells us previously, when he knew them, they would have plucked out their own eyes and given them to Paul if he needed them. That's what he says. They were with Paul on his side, in other words, which is the side of God. But now he has come to telling them that they are so soon removed from God who called them into the grace of Jesus Christ. If it can happen to them, it can happen to me.
Yes, sir.
So just what is it that these men who were troubling these Galatians, what is it that they were preaching? What was this perversion of the gospel? Go to Galatians chapter 2, if you would. Verse 1 of 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. These were those who were teaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But they were adding something else. They were adding in that you must be circumcised. They were teaching you had to follow the law along with what Christ did. These men were brought in unawares, Paul says, to spy out our liberty in Christ Jesus. Trying to bring men and women back into bondage under the law. This is what Paul was telling us. What was his reaction to them, and what should our reaction be if we hear men start to talk and preach that kind of garbage? Verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
Amen.
Not only that, but Paul also withstood Peter to the face. All Peter did was get up from eating with the Gentiles to eating with the Jews when they showed up.
Yep.
As Tim James has said, he got up from the Gentiles with pork chops on his breath to go sit with the Jews. In his action, Peter was saying to those Gentiles that they should be doing what the Jews did.
Yeah.
And when he did this, he also affected others with him. I want to remind you that Paul in this epistle is talking to believers Those who had been called by God into the grace of Jesus Christ. That is, they were called into that gospel. I know there are some who say there are different uses of the law. They say there is a first use of the law, which they call the civil use of the law, which is to restrain sin. But I read in Scripture that the strength of sin is the law. 1 Corinthians 15:56. So if the strength of sin is the law, how is it going to restrain sin? These are not my words. That is what God tells us in His Word. They say the second use of the law is pedagogical, or that is to show man how bad he is in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is not too bad necessarily. But I read in Scripture that the law entered that the offense might abound. Romans 5:20. This is what Scripture says the use of the law is. It entered that the offense might abound. It certainly does show us that we are corrupt before a holy God. The third use of the law, they say, is the moral law, which shows us how to live. But I read right here in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Amen.
Righteousness will not come by the law. Not before you have faith, and not after you have faith. If you can obtain righteousness by doing the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul is talking to believers here. He is not talking about those who are yet to come to know Christ. We even read where Paul asked the question in Galatians 3 and verses 1 through 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? If we begin in the Spirit, we continue in the Spirit.
Yes.
And at no time do we turn to this flesh to keep God's law. It cannot be done. It is also an offense to Jesus Christ in what He has told us in His Word that He has done for us. And by the way, you can find these teachings of the first, second, and third uses of the law in 1 Comeuppance 5:6. They are not in God's Word, period. The law entered that the offense might abound. The law was given by Moses, and its purpose was to show man how bad he is. Most men will never really see this. Only those who God loves will begin to see just how bad they are when God's law comes down before them, and they see that they cannot do it. But God be thanked, we also read that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Righteousness does not come by the law. And if it does in any way, and at any time, then what does Paul say here in verse 21 of chapter 2? Christ is dead in vain. I think it's a pretty serious thing to start following after such teaching that instructs that we now as believers are to start walking after the law as our way of life. Paul goes on to say to these Galatians, and this is God is telling us, we are not now made perfect by this flesh, and in the context he is saying by the doing of the law. This flesh cannot do the works of the law. Chapter 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? What we now do, if God has called us unto His glorious gospel, is all done in faith. Verse 5 of chapter 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Here is what Paul is telling us about the works of law. Read verses 10, 11, and 12 of chapter 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. By this we are then able to receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Yes. If we walk after the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, we are not called to start serving the law of God when God sends us His gospel. We are called on to serve Jesus Christ, who is our life. The law cannot give us life. That is, the law cannot make us righteous before God. We are nowhere instructed in the Word of God to start doing the works of the law once we come to believe Jesus Christ. We are, in fact, told that we are dead to this law, that we are freed from this law. Galatians 4:9, Paul tells us that trying to go back to the law after we are known of God is turning back to the weak and beggarly elements, and we are desiring to be in bondage. 4:9 it says, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereinto ye desire again to be in bondage? We are free to serve Jesus Christ, being given a faith, which by His Spirit points us to Jesus Christ, that we may serve Him, and in doing so, we fulfill the law of God. Paul says that he wished these ones who were teaching them that they had to be circumcised, those ones that were teaching they had to be circumcised, he wished they would slip with the knife and cut themselves off. You know what circumcision is, and that's what Paul is saying in Galatians 5 and 12, he says, I wish they were even cut off which trouble you.
Yes, sir.
I feel the same way of those who trouble us here with that kind of perversion.
Exactly.
This faith given us is energized by love. Yes. The new man created by God loves Jesus Christ and loves the brethren. The fruit of the Spirit of God has no law against those fruits. Paul is not just talking about teaching men to be circumcised. If anyone teaches that once you are a believer, then you begin to walk after the law, they are teaching a perversion of the gospel.
That's it.
Paul thought nothing of his keeping of the law. We read in Philippians 3, verses 3 through 8, we read, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. But we are not to use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh. If you want to live a debaucherous life, then you do not know Jesus Christ. We will fall, but we do not want to live there. Paul tells us if we walk after the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians 5:18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The believer desires to walk after the Spirit, and he says the fruit of that Spirit is, in Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. I say all this because I care about men's souls. This is a serious thing. And I know I'm not capable of preventing something like this happening to me. I do not have strength enough in and of myself to prevent it. I pray God keep me from myself. This flesh, it likes to do. This flesh will continue to fight against the Spirit so that we cannot do the things that we would. We have to mortify this flesh. Mortification is to subdue or deaden. This will be done unto the day of Jesus Christ. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all that will ever be. So we must continue to mortify our members. The new man does not have to be mortified, but this flesh will always need to be mortified until we lay this body down. What else does Paul tell us back in Galatians chapter 3, verses 19? Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. I'm here to tell you that the one being spoken of, that seed being spoken of in that verse, has come. Jesus Christ has come, and we are told right here in this book that Jesus Christ brought to us grace and peace from God. Meaning God has grace and peace toward us, and this has always been, or else we would have been consumed long ago. But this is also peace to God from our side, meaning we have peace with Him. We lay down our weapons and submit to Him, and this all being by His death and resurrection. We are even told in Hebrews that He has saved us, past tense, to the uttermost. What else do you need to do? If you need to do anything, then God has not saved you. What Christ does is right, and it is good, and it is sure, and it accomplishes everything it was intended to accomplish. Amen. We are told in Scripture that we are dead to the law. We are told that we are freed from the law. The law can only show us how bad we are. It did not make us what we are, and it cannot fix what we are. Exactly.